Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 10th. Joining us this morning. Yes, it is. Mr. Foster.
Good morning.
Grasping the obvious with both hands. And,
exactly.
And pulling hard, huh?
I'm going to leave that right there.
All right. Well, that's so you don't slide and fall.
Yeah. We were talking about my adventures on a moldy deck or a slippery deck.
Yeah. Well, both.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of, yeah. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
I am ready.
Landlubber. How did the landlubber get its name?
I think it's got to be it's a land lover, but it's probably said by a drunken sailor, so he said lubber instead of lover. What do you think?
The lubber is not, as so many suppose, from lover.
Damn it. Darn it.
But from the Danish lobes, meaning a clown or bumpkin.
Oh, okay.
So the term means any person who lives on land and acts inexperienced or awkward aboard a ship.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So I was...
So if you were a Navy or a Coast Guard guy...
I guess I would know that.
Yes, you would. Yeah. Are you playing solitaire there?
No, I was pulling up something, but then I can't find it, so I'll just have to go from memory.
Ruh-roh.
Exactly. We're going to be in trouble. Just make up the statistics.
So what are you hearing out there about the Christmas season in our area?
We're off to a start, which is unfortunately we had terrible weather last Friday and Saturday. We had some big events. So, but I think, I've talked to a couple people and they said, it's happening. People are out there. We still have, a couple more weekends. And that's good. A couple of our businesses that we work with, are in talking to one the other day, especially ones that make a product that's shipped out of the area are reporting that they're doing pretty darn well, And a lot of them have already...
You're shipped.
Well, exactly. So, we're talking about orders that were done in the fall or and shipped already, but, that was sort of an indicator. I haven't helped yet. I have to go out and get my shopping done. But
no, you're last minute, Larry?
This year it appears that way. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty good.
You want a gut check?
Mm.
I was talking to our sales folks, right?
Right.
All under 35. No idea who Johnny Carson was.
Yeah.
Because Ed McMahon would do that Christmas Eve after the taping of
Johnny
show.
Carson,
boom, that's when he went.
Right. Johnny Carson retired in 1992. Think about that.
No.
Okay.
I saw him 2 days ago. He's not retired.
I think it was 92, wasn't it? Somewhere around then. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess.
In the 90s.
I guess back when evening shows were humorous.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, equal opportunity humor. Well, one of the things that I find intriguing is, let's go back to when Johnny was around. We had retail around here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have an awful lot of retail anymore. Part of the Christmas season for me was writing Christmas commercial scripts.
Right.
Okay. And I start driving around, don't have that. Yeah, and that, to me, was part of the anticipation and the build for Christmas was getting all that and then hearing Christmas music beds, underneath commercials.
Yeah.
You hardly hear those anymore.
No, and retail's changing. I just read an article, a couple articles recently that really caught my attention. And these are out of the cities. One was on the Westfield Mall in San Francisco, which is the big mall on Market and Fifth, right? The largest shopping mall in San Francisco. It's the big old building there right on Market.
Where you can walk to it safely?
Yeah. Well, it's right at the end of the cable car line, it's a big place,
yeah.
And they're converting the top two floors into office because there's office demand and not retail demand. And so the other article I read was on I can't remember if it was Barney's or whatever, but talking about the retail environment in Manhattan, and the big department stores, and of course the thing there was a big picture, big windows, and now. That's going away as well, where people, they just said people don't window shop anymore. They don't come out and look at the big fancy windows. And So the brick and mortar, I mean, we can talk about more.
It's evolving.
It is absolutely evolving.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster, Executive Director at Redwood Region Economic Development Corporation.
Commission.
No, you're a corporation.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. You have that business-like attitude.
Fair enough.
The concept of brick and mortar is something that is an intriguing one. And I think for a lot of us that are probably 30-plus, that's for a nice one.
Yeah, plus.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, that's like being extra large.
Yeah, right.
Plus. Yeah. T. Retail empty space, retail full space, was a barometer of the economic health of the community.
Right.
Okay, so we have the infrastructure. And now we see, I mean, drive through, I don't know, Fortuna doesn't seem like it has it too much. Eureka certainly does. Arcata has to a certain extent. Empty storefronts.
Yep.
Lots of empty storefronts. Prime time location.
Right.
Empty, you know, 5th and F. That one's, till I die, that's the prime corner in the north of Santa Rosa.
Right.
Right there. And it's been empty for how many years?
Well, there's two things to look at, right? One of which is, we have some marquee buildings that may have empty spaces. Sometimes that's not the fault of the economy. It may be that they're not offering the space at a price that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
You have a jack 'em up rate.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Because I've seen some that have been empty for a long time where I see, you know, full spaces or spaces being, you know, all around them being leased up. And so you're right, you know, and, you know, the nature of retail has changed a lot. And
is that an antiquated measurement?
It might be just think about it. There's so much online shopping going on right now that and growing that, you know, retail is not, you know, I mean, I remember like coming to the Sears in Eureka, and that was like an event, right? Coming up from Southern Humboldt, and we could just walk in, and you could touch stuff.
At Pearson's Mall.
Right.
Not down on.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, no, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's one on the Bay? There was one on the Bay? Yeah, or the Penny's downtown or whatever. And, you know,
also an available location.
Exactly.
Yeah.
but, you know, retail habits have changed quite a bit. And or we have something like Costco, right? Which is not the shopping experience.
Yeah,
thing
the
as
category
much.
Killer is a right. different dynamic right. that wasn't in play when we were youthful.
Exactly. We had Bazaar, you know, if you remember that out.
And Disco before that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so those were big kind of big places.
Montgomery Ward's, I think, we may have been.
Yeah, but you know, Bazaar had pennies. You know, Bazaar was interesting because it had grocery on one side and dry goods on the other, right? And
it's kind of like a Walmart.
It was. And you know,
ones,
for,
you know,
for those of you who are not
come up to speed,
silver haired like the guests, you know, that was out where the big, you know, right next to where Redwood Harley is now. That big building was all big. And, you know, that was the place we would go to load up, you know, as families. Well. But it's interesting to watch retail. So, you know, it was the mall war, the big and the category killers, which is kind of the dated term anymore, right? But you had the big mega bookstores, this is all sort of pre-online sales. You had the Office Maxes, you know, the big, and a lot of them are gone now. And, you know, there's been this evolution, and what I remember, I mean, this is important too, in terms of like policy making for cities, right? Do we encourage? It's always somewhat frustrating to me when I see policies that are trying to encourage something that's kind of going against the market or social trends, right? So we're gonna you know, we need to protect this thing that really the market's left behind, or fashion or whatever. And so a lot of building in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s, I was down in the Valley for a while. We had the mall wars, right? And you had the
car dealer,
right? Three or four big anchor tenants, and a big mall in the middle, and you'd build a million square feet or whatever,
and all the locals fill inside,
right? Yeah. And what was driving that was a relatively robust and pre-internet retail environment, but it was sales tax, right? And so you would see malls literally across the street, where the street or road is a jurisdictional boundary, right? So it's like, well, if you're going to build a mall and take all our sales tax, we're going to do the same thing. Well, now these places are a real problem, right? And so cities are looking at, and I mentioned the Westfield Mall in San Francisco, and this is occurring in a lot of different places. They're like, okay, so given where we're going here, we do need to look at some adaptive reuse and changing of zoning and that sort of thing, because we're not going to have that drive to build those giant malls anymore. And so here we are, in Humboldt, and we have an empty Sears, right? And maybe Walmart will move over. Who knows, right? Move over, get a little more space. Who knows? But we don't need as much square footage anymore for retail. At the same time, in Eureka and elsewhere, we have a need for housing and some other things that maybe we should be looking at.
Some of the conversion stuff.
Right, exactly.
Distribution centers, do those make any sense in some of these spaces? I mean, you mentioned Sears. We see a lot of trucks driving into the county. Would a distribution center?
Not so much here, just because we don't have the volume either, right? So
we're not a jumping off point.
If you look at Woodland and some of these other places, they have big distribution centers there, and that makes a lot more sense for them. They're on, you can bring rail in or whatever and
make it happen.
Yeah, well, they got the people, right?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism, because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, one of the things that I find intriguing is that I think that when we get into building ownership, maintenance, things like that, is we've got three different cast of characters, if you will. We got the guy or gal who built it, and it's a reflection of themselves.
Right.
Kind of like what we saw with the library,
mm-hmm.
when that was being built. Became very difficult at the end for the business to continue, but that was kind of like a legacy project.
Right.
Same thing with Sacred Heart, a number of decades previous. It almost took somebody to, there are things like that that people just pour themselves into.
Right, right.
Okay. Then you've got the local owner,
mm-hmm.
that may have put it up themselves years ago or inherited it and see it as a revenue generated for themselves. And then you got the guys out of the area that really, it's a piece of property.
Part of the portfolio.
I would be just as connected if it was in Merced as if it was in Eureka.
Right,
who
right,
cares?
Right, right.
Kind of thing. It seems to me as if there are different levels of commitment on each of those.
True. Absolutely.
But they each impact the local citizenry to the same extent.
Right, right, right.
So how do you get through some of that if we're trying to make a community attractive?
Right, right.
For growth, for relocation, for, I guess in the old days, Sticky used to be a website. You know, I'm kind of thinking Sticky as far as keeping people in the community they grow up in. How do you do that without having really Big Brother come in and mandate?
Right. Well, you know, and we used to have better tools for that, like with redevelopment agency, and you could provide some incentives for building owners to do their
facade grants,
grants and other stuff. You know, you could do sidewalks and utilities and stuff like that to reduce the cost. And you're right. You know, I always love those old posters that you see of any city, but certainly in Eureka, some of the old, you know, there's one in my law office, not my law office, my lawyer's office, and you know, it has.
Well, you've been paying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
You got a piece of it.
I probably paid for part of that poster.
Yeah.
But, you know, the old buildings and, you know, it would be the person who built it would put their name on it, right? They were proud of it. It was the whatever building.
Yeah,
right?
The Smith building.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the Lloyd building.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting when you see a poster and it was like our buildings, both public and private buildings, were such monuments, and people were so proud they put them in a poster that you know, this is it. And so we've gotten away from that, unfortunately, in some ways, not everywhere, but
a lot of it is slap it up and let's get
right
going,
right,
you know?
It's gonna but there's another issue that concerns me, and you're right about, okay, so how do we, you know, it's the carrot and stick approach, right? Do we try to find incentives or market incentives or something to help that building owner reinvest in an older building that they may have owned for a long time or that they have inherited? And, you know, absent that, then are there mechanisms out there to kind of compel them to do that, right? And we do have some older buildings. I mean, we have a number of older buildings, certainly in my neighborhood in downtown in Old Town, where some of them have been owned by someone for a long time and they maybe just don't have the time or energy or the money to reinvest in the building. They're kind of letting it, they'll throw a for lease sign up there and you walk by and you go, well, you know, why would, it's like putting a for sale sign on an abandoned car, you know, no one's going to buy it. There are a number of buildings down there that I think have been, you know, passed along, and the children may own it, and they don't live in the area anymore, and it's, you know, really has a very low cost to ownership for them, but they get a little cash flow, so what the heck.
Yeah, there used to be a program back when graffiti started to hit that the city would pay for the paint.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jack McDonald was the paint store.
Right.
Was doing it.
Right.
And, okay, that kind of made sense.
Right.
Is that something as simple as having a fund available if somebody wants to have
Pro
do painting and just make the buildings
look
better?
Sure. And, again, you need a willing owner, right? And sometimes it's just they don't want to. And I believe the city of Eureka is reinstating or has reinstated a facade program. I have to ask a City of Eureka person. I think I just read in a paper some weeks or months ago. And, you know, those worked. I mean, you know, people were willing to. And then there was a loan program through the Redevelopment Agency, if I recall that, where you borrowed the money, but it was slowly forgiven over the years if you did certain things. And but, you know, so I think I'm a big believer in those kind of incentives, although I do believe it's, if you own a building, it's a responsibility, quite honestly, to take care of it yourself.
Yeah, there's an obligation.
Right. And so if you just can't, you just don't care and just won't do it, you know, there are mechanisms out there where cities can do, you know, nuisance abatements and declare certain
for
things.
For ugly buildings?
Not
garbagey, just ugly.
Well,
peeling, but the inside is clean.
Yeah, you know,
that's,
I mean, it's a
one,
fine
it?
Line. It's you're subjective, right? Because, you know, what's the definition of ugly? Hey, you know, about
yours.
Peeling paint. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, my house would probably get a nuisance sticker if it was about peeling paint. But, you know, if you have chronic abandoned, you know, building, empty space, and it's not being maintained, and, you know, the roof is leaking. I mean, there's a building on Fifth Street right now that sadly has a tenant in it. It was one that where the piece of the facade fell off years ago.
Facade?
facade.
Oh, facade. Okay.
Facade. And yeah, I'm drinking
the water's
bubbly
you.
Water here. Yeah. And it's making me a little
fuzzy.
Exactly. But now it's got like plastic wrapped on the front. You know, they just kind of even though there's a tenant in there, the building owner is not investing in it. Right. And so, if you're on the main drag and you literally have plastic and pieces of your building falling into the street, you know, I think the city should step in. I mean, I'm not a
quick move.
I'm not a big brother kind of person, but, you know, it's like you have a responsibility if you own something in the middle of our town. And if you don't want the responsibility, then sell it to someone who does.
How about just safety?
Well, that too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, what are your thoughts about the two wind projects? You know, this morning we had the the story about, 300 union jobs during the construction period, which will last a period of time. Is that kind of like maybe the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to start to see is the Bay and the county start to come back onto the radar screen for businesses and either industrial, light industrial, or commercial?
You know, it's not just the wind energy projects. And again, my board hasn't taken position on either of these projects, but the onshore or the offshore. But it was intriguing to me. And I'll throw Nordic and the Digital 299 and some other projects that are kind of out there getting investment. That I think those are great projects. In as much as now, regardless of where they're cited, or you know, I won't get involved in the controversy there, but they're projects that are taking advantage of sort of our natural advantage to them. In other words, there's something here for them that makes sense from an investment standpoint.
Pencils out,
right? So it's wind. It's for Nordic. It's the water and the space. For Digital 299, they're talking about, you know, being able to get access to, you know, Trans-Pacific fiber. What I do like about all of those is that they're realistic. They're driven by private interest. In other words, it's there's someone out there making a calculation that we make sense for them from the market standpoint and are investing money into us. And at the same side, we are, I think, being clear about what our advantages and what our competitive advantages are and really trying to take advantage of those.
Let me play a scenario out that I heard last week. I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got the marijuana and the bubble that's going on now because of the processing and the Humboldt County and all that stuff. But that's going to implode. I think everybody can recognize that that's not sustainable at the level it is for the next 30 years.
It'll be really interesting to see where we I wouldn't even say in 30 years.
I know,
where we are
30
in three years, right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that happens. Then all the growing is down in the valley for the high bulk. You got the boutiques.
Mm-hmm.
Land prices in the hills come down.
And that's already happening.
Timber becomes a product that comes back into viability. And we start to become a lumber community again and a ranching community again, not to the same extent that it was before.
Right, right.
But certainly more than what it is today. Can you see the to happen?
Yeah,
and mills, you know, computerized mills.
Right, right.
Coming back in and the biomass and all that stuff start coming into play?
It depends. So it's not just the availability of land that's driving this thing. Ultimately, it's the market on the other side.
Yeah, you need
right?
the consumer.
I'm not going to project where I think the timber market's going to be in 3 or 5 years. But if there's a market, if there's demand for the product, somehow people will try to figure out how to get it to market, right? And so, I think we have slack capacity, and I'm no expert on this. On this issue, occasionally I know more about it than I do right now because I just haven't looked at it recently. But I do believe a slack production capacity in the lumber market right now, so we might be able to take up a lot of that. We're a lot more efficient in a mill than we used to be, right?
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be shifts more of 200.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Oh, thank you.
Merry Christmas. See everybody tomorrow.